Hi, I'm Pastor David Coleman. I want to give you a personal invitation to come and hear Colonel David J. Giamona. As you can see right here, Armageddon and Beyond. This is Battle Ready Plans for what is ahead of us. I know over the past year, we've all been through COVID and lots of different things. And probably you're asking the question, what is going on? So if you want to get some facts and you want to hear the word of God and hear from the colonel, 38 years in the military, he's retired, but now he goes around ministering. He's just written a great book called The Military Guide to Armageddon. And he's out to inform the church, teach the church, and to get the church battle ready for what is ahead. So that is the 28th of February, 10:30 a.m., and also 6 p.m. that evening service. So again, come on and be with us here at Harvest Worship Center, Patrick Springs, Virginia, to hear Colonel David J. Giamona and get ready for what is ahead in the future. And God bless you is our prayer.
All right. You guys ready to worship tonight? Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for this night, God. We just bless you and thank you, Lord. We've come. You are everything to us, oh God. You are more than enough, oh God. We just welcome your presence here on this Wednesday night. You are my supply, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You are my reward worth living for. Still more awesome than all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough, more than enough. My supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward worth living for. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me. Every need you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You are more than enough. You're my sacrifice of greatest price, and still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King, you are everything. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than every need you Lord, you are more than enough. We bless him, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He became sin, who knew no sin. Jesus Messiah. Oh God, thank you, God. Man, bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Your name this night. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, let your refreshing river come upon your people tonight, oh God. Lord, in this time, in this season that we're living, God, I just pray that you would uplift us, Lord, even tonight, Lord. Prepare us for what you are bringing us to, God. Prepare us for Sunday. Prepare us for your impartation, Lord. We've got to come expecting, oh God. Take off of us what the enemy has put on us. We break the power of the enemy. We break the power of depression and oppression. We will not be cast down, but we will stand and proclaim your word, oh Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Amen and amen.
Amen. Let's give him praise. Come on. He is worthy. He is worthy. Somebody say, yes, he is. Amen. You may be seated tonight. That's a good thing about it. It's like all you got to do is hit that plus sign. I guess the downside would be if you just can't get but one word on one page. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And I want us to touch on that a little bit because I think it's good to rehearse in our mind. God does not want us ignorant of spiritual things, spiritual gifts. And I think so oftentimes, you know, that when we look into the book of Corinthians and begin to understand that Paul is addressing every kind of issue that you can possibly think of, where the gifts of the Spirit are concerned. I know that lots of times people don't understand the gifts of the Spirit or how that God moves or how that the Lord uses people and so forth. And one of the things that we've touched on is, you know, the diversities of gifts, differences of administrations, and that how that, you know, when God moves, you know, just everybody's not the same. And I think that's good to understand. You know, the way that the Lord uses people. Some people are more demonstrative than other people. Some people can do things quietly. I'm like myself, I'm kind of demonstrative. I'm like loud and, you know, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry if that's the way it is. Call it the big guns. I don't know what you call it, but anyhow. And I love the way that God does things because, you know, I've seen him do things in a whisper and I've seen him do things loud. But the thing about it is that when you look at Jesus in the Bible, sometimes he was loud. Sometimes he just really shouted out. And sometimes he spoke. And so we can see all of those, you know, working through the Lord, you know, as well. So I tell people, you know, if loudness makes you nervous, heaven will make you nervous. Because heaven is going to be loud at times. Amen. There's going to be some powerful worship. You think about the sons of God shouting for joy and echoing through the universe and reverberating through the universe. And I remember one time many years ago, I heard a man, you know, was talking about, he said, somebody came up to him and said, "Man, you're just too loud." And he said, it just kind of just messed with him a little bit because he's a young minister. And he said, he began to just say, "Lord," he said, "Lord, I don't want to be like that." And he said, "Son, you just yell all you want to." He said, "It doesn't make me nervous." And so I'm like, praise God. So, you know, hallelujah. Somebody say, so it's okay to be loud. It's okay to be loud. And then he says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Two distinct things. God edifies you, edifies the body, builds it up, stirs people's faith, and also, you know, he tells us here that he divides it out severally as he wills. As he wills. And I was talking to somebody today, you know, that how in the, especially in early Christendom, when they would have a meeting or come to have church, one of the things that they did is they designated a person to interpret tongues so that it would be well known that this individual is going to interpret tongues. I know that some people say, how come the pastor always interprets tongues? Well, you know, that's part of the reason why. That doesn't mean that another person can't, but number one, it's because even though people come and speak in tongues, they understand that there's going to be an interpreter present. And somebody says, well, how do you know that you're going to interpret that? I don't. I'm just going to be frank with you. And sometimes there have been times, few times, over the years, I would call it a few times, that someone could speak in tongues and there would be no interpretation. But I have known fruit to always come out of those things. And just like one of the things that stands out to me, there was a man that went to a church meeting one time, and this guy got up down front, spoke in tongues. There was no interpretation. And so it kind of bothered, you know, the guy that spoke in tongues. And he said, well, you know, man, you know, nobody interpreted this, you know. I said, anyway, after the service, there was a man that came down and told him, he says, I didn't know that you knew how to speak Choctaw Indian. And he says, I don't. He said, well, that's what you were speaking. This man got born again because the Holy Spirit called him by name and called him to repentance. So it's very important to understand, even though there may not be an interpretation that comes forth, and I would say that is the rule of thumb, but not in every case. But there was divine order. Someone got saved. There's always fruit. That's the thing that you want to see when the gifts of the Spirit move, is that the body is edified and somebody receives from that. Amen. So don't get just messed up because it didn't get interpreted, because it really did somewhere. You'd be surprised, I think, what the Lord actually does at times, you know, when he speaks directly to individuals, you know, when tongues come forth and there is no interpretation. So I wanted to just throw some of that stuff out there. Praise God. There are nine gifts that are mentioned. Remember, there's three categories. The first is the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of the spirits. And so tonight, we're going to touch on discerning of the spirits. The second category are power gifts. Everybody say power gifts. Gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings. And then the third category, utterance gifts. Gifts that say something. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. And so that's something you kind of want to remember, the three categories. You have the revelation gifts, power gifts, and utterance gifts. And the more you hear that, the more it gets in your spirit. And so you can readily talk to people. Somebody says, oh, you go to one of those tongue-talking churches? And say, yes. Say, your tongue's talking too right now, isn't it? Amen. Thought I'd put that out there just for a little fun. But just so the body gets edified, praise God. So it's good, you know, to know some of this stuff in case somebody comes to you and you're talking to them and you can just really act like you know what you're talking about. Amen. So, well, hey, there's actually nine gifts and they're in three categories. We got revelation gifts, power gifts, and utterance gifts. And, you know, these are the things that they do. All right. So we started off with the word of knowledge, and we said that it's a fragmentary part of God's all knowledge. And what did we say about the word of knowledge? Does anybody remember tonight? It's always or present, always past or present. And then we talked about how that it's just a fragmentary part of God's all knowledge. It'd be great to know everything. I've met some people that did know everything or thought they knew everything. Amen. But a fragmentary part of God's all knowledge. And then we also have the word of wisdom. Can anybody tell me what the word of wisdom is? It's always future. That's exactly right. And so these gifts are edifying. So tonight we're going to talk about discerning of the spirits. Everybody say discerning of the spirits. And this is where a lot of people just like to camp out right here on this one right here lots of times, because you're just talking about, you know, the first thing that comes to a person's mind when you talk about discerning of the spirits is devils. This gift is a lot deeper than discerning a demon, believe me. And so that's what we want to see tonight. But discerning of the spirits is the supernatural insight into the spirit realm. Supernatural insight into the spirit realm. And so this gift tonight actually has a more limited range than the other gifts do, because its revelation is limited to a single class of objects, okay? Where the others are person, places, or things, this is the spirit world, okay? These are talking about spirits. Everybody say spirits. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. So the discerning of spirits gives that supernatural insight into the realm of spirits. And I want you to really think just for a minute, because actually he's talking about seeing into that realm. Seeing into that realm. Seeing it. Sometimes that can be an inward picture. Sometimes it can be an open vision, just like you're seeing in here. And I've had that happen one time in my life where I actually saw an open vision of a spirit. I saw it, you know, we were in a meeting of several thousand people, and I saw this thing. It looked like a theater mask on, ran right through the crowd. And, that was amazing to me, because I said, what is that? You know, because I knew it didn't belong there. Somebody say amen. Amen. But it was very, very significant, because God didn't show you something like that without it having significance. So this gift is not the discerning of devils or evil spirits. It includes all the spirit realm. Everybody say all the spirit realm. All the spirit realm. As I said, most people, all they think about is evil or the devil when it comes to this gift. I can remember when I first got saved and began to read the book of Corinthians and was going to a Pentecostal church, charismatic church, whatever you want to call it, and lots of people's focus when it came to discerning of the spirits, it was always a demon. That's all they ever brought up. But it's angels, it's demons, it's the spirit of God, it's lots of different things. And so you can, when you think about this gift tonight, you can see demons, or you can discern whether it's a demonic spirit, and you can discern whether it is an angel of the Lord or not, okay? I think it's important probably to mention right here, you know, that sometimes when an angel of the Lord or a fallen angel or demonic spirit shows up, they both appear as light, okay? That's important to know, because that tells you that sometimes it's hard for a person to tell the difference unless this gift's in operation. Amen? Have you ever met somebody that was listening to the wrong voice? Believe me, I've had some cuckoos over the years. Some that just stand out, you know, automatically. I remember one individual came to my house. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and they knocked on my door, and they came, and they had been hearing voices, and they had been, you know, they had been they said they had been seeking the Lord and praying and fasting and all this kind of stuff, but they got to listening to the wrong voices. Amen. Always remember this, and I say this over and over again, if it doesn't measure up to this, it's not God. It's out of the demonic realm, okay? And so the way that you readily can recognize whether it's demonic or angelic is to really know the book. The more you feed yourself on this, the better off you're going to be. Amen? Amen. All of Satan's apples have worms. Always remember that. So this is the best place to start. You want to learn about the Holy Ghost and learn about, you know, the gifts of the Holy Ghost and whether it's of God and whether it's of the devil. This is where you get the milk of the Word and you begin to learn to discern. But then you move into the meat of the Word and then you build that discernment and it grows. But this gift of discerning of the spirits is always based upon this foundation right here. Everybody remember that. And so this is where God can really begin to use you and begin to show you things, and you can discern it, you know, when you readily look at it. Because number one, I don't think that God will, and this, you know, personally, I think this is scriptural. I don't think that God would show a baby something in the demonic, just open their eyes and just show them a bunch of stuff. It would, number one, it would freak them out. Secondly, it would, you know, they would be so confused, they wouldn't know what to do with the information to begin with and wouldn't know what to do with it. Amen? Amen. And so always go to the foundation of the Word. Somebody say the foundation of the Word. And so, you know, when you think about discerning of the spirits, you got to think about God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. Demonic beings are spirits. Angelic beings are spirits. So there is a vast world, but it's all spirits. Somebody say spirits, spirits, spirits. And you can get flaky in this stuff, you know, because you can see things that aren't there and say that you saw it. Now, you know, I could probably tell you a few stories on that. God's not stupid, number one. He's not an idiot. Somebody say, God's not an idiot. He's all wise. He's all knowledge. And I have known people, just, you know, I knew this one family that was really into this part right here. And one time they came to me and said, yeah, we were chasing devils around the house. And I'm like, how dumb can you get? You're supposed to bind them and cast them out, not chase them. Somebody say amen. I think I'd say quit running and sit down. I'm going to deal with you now. Amen. But just to show you some of the craziness that people can get into, people that are pseudo-spiritual, you know, I call it like hyper-spirituality, are the ones that are always trying to look under a rock and find the devil. And that's most of the time where it leads to, because you never really hear them say, man, I had an angelic visitation. You know, they talk about most of the time when they talk about demons, you're going to get one. He's going to manifest. He's going to show up. But lots of times people can see what they want to see. Amen. And so it's important, you know, for us to understand, you know, when you meet somebody and they're seeing something every day and they're seeing something every hour, I would dare to say tonight that probably truthfully they're seeing things conjured up out of their own head. All right? There's a big difference. Somebody say amen. Amen. So number one, it's like Paul talked about. You can be puffed up in your, you know, in imaginations, vain imaginations and all these things, and meet people that saw this and heard that and everything else. You know, it's things that go squeak in the night. And so it's important for me to understand, if God is showing me something, he's doing it because he's going to give me authority over it. He wants me to pray about it. He wants me to destroy it. It's if it's the work of the enemy, and if it is the work of God, he wants me to pray it through. Amen? He wants me to pray it through. If it's the devil, he wants me to pray it out. Somebody say, praise God. It's just like people come and say, you know, that person over there's got a devil. They got a devil attached to them. Well, hey, if you're going to say that, then you've got to understand, if God really shows you that, he's expecting you to be mature enough to be able to pray it away. Amen. Because God just wasted his time if you didn't. Somebody say amen. So if he shows us something, the things hidden belong to God, the scripture says. The things revealed belong to us. If God takes the time to show us a demonic being that's attached to somebody or that's attached to a town or attached to a city, then he's telling us that he's given us authority to pull the stronghold down. Get a couple of other intercessors and pray the thing through and see it destroyed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Always remember this. Luke chapter number 19, where he tells us, I think 1928, where he tells us, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means harm you. Power to tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. Mark chapter 16, where to cast out devils. Somebody say amen. And so in those instances, Jesus is telling us, he says, look, if God your Father takes the time, or God the Holy Spirit takes the time to show you something, he's given you authority over it. Amen. I think I may have told this story, but you know, when years ago when we went to see Dr. Summerall, we were down, you know, when we used to go there, and we're in that little room, and he was teaching us. And some of you know Oscar Maorga, you know, from California. He was with us, and when we went down to see to hear Dr. Summerall on that given day, anyway, the first thing that Oscar did was he got in. You got to know Oscar. He says, "I am from Nicaragua." And Dr. Summerall says, "When you going back?" He's like, just blew him away. He's like, "Oh my God." You know, he's like, in other words, he's saying, look, if you're telling me that God called you out of somewhere and God's calling you to do something, I want to know why you're not doing it. You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's important, because that is exactly the way that our Father is. When he shows us something in the Spirit, he wants us to pray about it and wants us to take authority over it, because we can pray it down. Amen? Somebody say, pray it down. I just feel like I need to spend a little time right there tonight. I just don't know why, but I just feel like I do. Because number one, he has given us authority to pull down strongholds, he says in the book of Corinthians. Amen. Strongholds in the mind, number one. If you know someone's being afflicted, I can remember Dad Hagen talking about this. He talking about, like, he saw in the spirit realm, and sometimes he would see demons hanging on people. You know what he did? He didn't go out and say to Congress, he said, "Well, I saw a demon hanging on a person." Because, you know, most people are going to say, "I'm going to tell you, that person got a devil. It's a devil hanging on. I'm going to tell you right now. Don't get around that person. They got a devil. Don't get around that person." No, this is what Dad Hagen did. He said, "I see you. Now you let them go in Jesus' name. You come off of them." He said, that devil says, "I don't want to." He said, "I said, come off, get off of them now in Jesus' name." He said, the thing would get down and run, start running back. And said, sometimes he'd speak to him. He'd stop and look back. Said, "I said, get out in Jesus' name." Said, he'd see it run right on back through the back wall of the church and leave. And that person would be set free. See, God wants us to go beyond just seeing something. He shows it to us for a reason. And so this gift of discerning of the spirits, it's God revealing to us that a person's being afflicted. And it's like sometimes, you know, with the way the Lord uses me, I could just look at a person, you know, and I just know stuff. I just, you know, it's just like, and it's discerning of the spirits, but it's also the word of knowledge. A lot of times gifts will work together. It's like, in order for you to have a miracle, you got to have the gift of faith in operation. And like when you have a word of knowledge that somebody has a certain sickness, that's often the gift of faith and the gifts of healings that can operate to bring a healing. Because just like the other day when we were calling out sicknesses and this and that and the other, and you know, also when that gift begins to operate, there's several other gifts that begin to operate too, because God has to have the gift of healing and the gift of faith in operation along with that word of knowledge to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. You understand? And so like with demonic powers, like if he shows you something, you see in the spirit realm, or you come into a town or a city or whatever, you know, when you go in and you just feel like you just know something. Said, this, you know, there's an evil spirit here of this kind of nature, you know. And so God expects you to deal with that. He didn't just waste his time. He expects you to deal with it. And so what is great to do is to get a couple of other believers that really know how to pray and say, look, we're going to see this thing destroyed in Jesus' name. This devil has got to go. Amen. This devil has got to go. And when we get together, two or three of us, we're going to bind him, we're going to pull down the stronghold, and we're going to run it out of town in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Send it on over to Egypt somewhere. Send it into the deep. The devil does not like the deep. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, it's important for us to understand that God will often show us things. It could be like an inward vision. It could be like God impresses upon you heavily. And you know when God works in you that way. You just know. You just know. Or you can actually see, just like I'm looking at you tonight, an open vision to see into that realm. But when God shows it, he expects you to pray about it. And so, first time I ever had that operate in Kansas City, when I was there and saw that thing run through the building, I went and sought counsel over it and told one of my friends that knew about it, and he said, that is exactly what's happening right here. And so then I knew, see, God was teaching me about how that gift operated, okay? And so what you do is you pray. You pray over that and believe God to do something about it in Jesus' name. And so you take authority over the enemy. Now, And so, like I said, you can also see angels. How many know it's good to see angels? It's good to see angels. I think about, the first thing I think about is Norval Hayes' daughter. And she was lost. He had been praying for her. She had gotten on drugs. She was messed up. Zona was. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to tell her every night that you love her. And so sometimes she'd come home at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, been out with her friends. And so he'd say, Zona, I love you. I love you. I love you too, Daddy. One night she came home, went in her bedroom, and he said, I love you. I love you too, Daddy. A few minutes, Daddy. He says, what, Zona? He said, she said, there's a big angel in here about 8 feet tall. She gave her heart to Jesus, and the rest is history. But she saw into the spirit realm, and she, you know, it was all about salvation and redemption. And the thing about it, you know why that angel showed up? Because Norval prayed and was believing for his daughter to get born again. And as a person, you know that when I pray, I'm expecting angels to show up and to work. If God did it for them, he'll do it for me. He'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of person. Somebody say amen. And so I'm saying, hey, God, whatever you need to do to get this done, I want it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. I want this to happen. Glory to God. Whatever that it is, Lord, send angels. Let them come. Let them work. Amen. And so sometime you may see an angel. Your eyes may be open to that. And what God is saying to you, he says, my angel is here. He's came after your words in answer for your prayer. And the business is on. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. So let's look at scripture tonight for a couple of examples. All right. So God let Moses see into the spirit realm. Somebody say, yes, he did. In Exodus chapter number 33, I think it's verse 22 and 23, he said to Moses, God did, he said, you can't look on my face, but I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock and put my hand over your face, and I'm going to pass by you and let you see my hinder parts. Okay? So what happened here, Moses saw into the spirit realm. You got it? Moses saw into the spirit realm when this happened to him. And so he was able to discern what we would call the similitude of God. He didn't see God, but he saw the similitude of God. Amen? And so that's important. You know, it's just like Scripture said, nobody has ever seen God. That's what Scripture says. And so God said, you can't look on my face, but you can see my similitude. So when I passed by, remember when Moses came back down to the hill, everybody saw him glowing. He put a veil over his face. And so I personally believe that if you have that kind of experience of God, and you see the similitude of God, everybody's going to know that you had an experience with the Lord. Amen. And so I think that's an important thing. It's like, you know, when we pray and fast, Jesus said, when you go into the closet in secret, he said, your Father shall reward you openly. Amen. But Moses saw what we call the similitude of God. Somebody say the similitude of God. It's just like if you're in prayer and you're in a deep time of prayer and you're seeking the Lord and you're praying and you're fasting and people say, God visited me. God visited me. And I've had that happen several times over my life. And in every instance, I have been shaken to the core. I mean, it's been a scary deal. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I felt peace and I felt comfort. You know, but it was a life-changing experience. And this is certainly what happened to Moses. When you hear somebody say, yeah, the man upstairs visited me, honey, I don't know what they had. It was a bad hamburger or the pizza messed up or something went bad. Somebody say amen. But if you know, it's that God's not the guy next door and he's not the man upstairs. He is holy and he's God. And if you really have him visit you, you're going to know it. You're going to shake, you're going to weep, you're going to tremble, you're going to have fear on you, not the bad kind of fear, but you're going to realize how awesome and powerful that he really is. Amen. And so, yeah, and most of the time when you see people like that, yeah, man, God visited me last night, hallelujah, we were carrying on this conversation, blah, 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 blah. You know, when you meet people like that, they've got a lot of space right here. Somebody say space ghost, not the Holy Ghost. Amen. So there's a big difference between space ghosts and the Holy Ghost. That's right. So he was able, Moses was, to discern the similitude of God. I knew it wasn't a devil. I knew it was Jesus that visited me in every instance. And when the Spirit of the Lord moved, I was able to discern that, seeing the similitude of God, the similitude of God. You know, says one of the things that's amazing to me is like, and I hear one consistent theme, I never saw his face. I never saw his face, but I saw him. You know what I mean? And so that's a concurrent theme in one of the things. So we see the similitude. Somebody say, the similitude, the similitude. All right, so all through the Bible, one of the things that we do is we see people who in vision form have been able to discern the similitude of God. So they didn't see God, they saw the similitude of God. And so that's what we're talking about. And possibly maybe some of you here have seen, you know, the similitude of God, you know, as well. So they were seeing into the spirit realm, and that was the manifestation of discerning of the spirits. Okay, let's look in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. This is a really good one. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saying, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Now this is Isaiah talking. Okay, so now actually he did not see the Lord. He saw the similitude of God. All right, you understand? And so here he is. He said in the year that King Uzziah died, and man, he was really infatuated with this guy. Uzziah was a good king. And so here he is. God came along, you know, boom. And all of a sudden, Isaiah's life is changed. One of the things that you see through this is Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. And I dwell in the midst, I have unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people, you know, of unclean lips. It shook him to the core, okay? So he didn't actually see the Lord. He saw the similitude of God. He saw the similitude of God. And then Stephen in the book of Acts, you remember when he was being stoned, what did the Bible say? He said, I saw the heavens open. I saw the glory of God, and I saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. He saw the similitude of the Lord, okay? It's nobody else going to be standing on God's right hand. Somebody say, just Jesus, just Jesus, just Jesus. So he saw into the spirit realm, you know, when he was dying and leaving this earth and getting ready to pass on, he said, I saw the heavens opened. I saw the glory of God. I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He saw the similitude of God. And so discerning of the spirits means the discerning. And listen to me, when we talk about discerning of the spirits means the discerning of cherubim, seraphim, archangels, all that angelic realm, the host of angels in the Bible, because you hear people talk about the heavenly host, the discerning of Satan, and also the discerning of demons. All right? Now, so the discerning of spirits reveals to us the source behind the supernatural manifestation when it comes. Amen? When it comes, the supernatural manifestation. Well, if I'm up teaching the word, and that's happened here before, you know, and then a devil manifests over here and someone wants to throw up, you automatically know that that's not Jesus or the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Or if someone starts growling and writhing like a snake, you know, in the floor, then you know that that's not the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, there's certain fruit that you look for. Amen. Somebody say that's not the goodness of God. That's a demonic power, you know, working through an individual. Amen. And so it would be the same thing. It's like we had a gentleman, you know, that came here one time. Well, I think he used to go around to all the churches, but he got fooled when he got here. But he, at the end of the service, he would get up most of the time and come running down front and stomp around and run around and start prophesying everybody was going to hell and everybody was full of the devil and all this kind of stuff. But he came here on a Sunday morning, and so he was, you know, in the back. And the way that I usually dismiss services, then I would say, you know, I wouldn't pray dismissal prayer because we were coming back Sunday. I said, everybody shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you this evening. And so at the end of the service, you know, he knew we were getting, you know, coming to the end, but he thought we were going to pray a dismissal prayer. And so he was getting ready for his cue. When I said, everybody stand together, shake hands and be friendly, he lost it. It took the thunder out of his, you know what I mean, out of his little storm he wanted to bring. And he was standing back in the back and looking around to see what was going on. Then he started jumping around a little bit and started trying to prophesy. And by that time, we had a couple of ushers to show him the way outside. But you know what I mean. What did he do? He brought attention to himself. It didn't glorify God. The man had a devil. Somebody say it was a devil. There was no fruit there that pointed to Jesus. Amen. Somebody say amen. I got news for him. Hey, we're all going to heaven in here. Hallelujah. I don't think I see anybody I don't know as a sinner. I hope you're ready to go. Praise God. And, but that's what you look for. Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall know them. Amen. You shall know them. Somebody comes up to you and starts prophesying doom into your life. Number one, you know yourself better than anybody else. You have all authority at that point to say, you are a liar, devil. Get thee behind me. Remember Jesus did that to who? Peter. Did he not? Lord, you're not going to the cross. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. What did Jesus do? He discerned real quick that was not the right spirit. He came to go to the cross. Somebody say, yes, he did. And so I think it's important, you know, that when somebody comes up to you and starts prophesying, don't you open your door. Somebody say, don't open the door. Know those that labor among you. Number one, if somebody comes up and starts prophesying over your life in a congregation, if they didn't clear it from me, they have no right. They're out of order. Number one, they're already grossly in error. Somebody say, I believe we can just do what we're supposed to be doing. You don't know the word. You're supposed to be submitted, number one, to the authority, and you go and you make, you clear that word of prophecy, because prophecy is to be judged, not handed out by the buckets full. So if someone is going to come and prophesy into your life, first thing you want to do is say, hold it. Did you clear it with the pastor? So you can protect yourself. Somebody say amen. You can protect yourself. Rather than have somebody just spew a bunch of stuff on you, then you got to go pray that off of you, and then you're going to be, do I have a devil? Am I messed up or something like that? You always understand that in a setting, in a church setting, and that's why I say I don't like parking lot prophets, and I call them outhouse prophets and in-house prophets. Outhouse prophets are dangerous. Amen? I know we used to have an outhouse growing up. You know what I'm talking about? And so outhouse prophets can be dangerous. And so you don't want people just coming and saying things over you or saying things into your life. Amen. And then they'll go, well, I'll tell you one thing. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. They're always right. Because they have an unteachable spirit and you can't tell them anything. And Paul talks about them a lot, in his writings. And so that's, like I say, that's where you start building your discernment at. And so when somebody comes and wants to do that, discern that spirit. Somebody say, discern that spirit. Discern that spirit. Because number one, you know yourself better than anybody else, and you know your heart. You know if you're serving Jesus or if you're out here committing adultery, fornicating, lying, cheating, stealing. If you're doing that stuff, you know it. Somebody say amen. And so if somebody comes up to you and prophesies gloom and doom into your life, the first thing you do is stop them. Everybody say stop. Did you clear it with the pastor? Because that's where it needs to start at. Okay? And remember, even prophecy, we haven't got there yet, but when we get there, it's to be judged. And we'll talk about that, later on. But discerning of the spirits, discerning. You discern a human spirit, whether it's operating under the Holy Spirit or whether it's operating under a demonic spirit. And so we want to make sure what we're doing is of God. Amen. And Paul had to deal with this kind of stuff. Let's just think for a minute. You remember in Acts chapter number 16, when the young maiden came out and she was like a ventriloquist. She was throwing her voice up over the heads of Paul and Silas. These men are men of the Most High God. They do show unto us the way of salvation. Think a minute. Now, they were doing that, weren't they? They were preaching and they were showing people the way of salvation. But what this demonic power was doing was trying to draw attention to the man, and also trying to aggravate the spirit that was in Paul. Paul's spirit, his reborn spirit, trying to mess him up. Because, number one, it wasn't edifying him and wasn't building him up. You know, that spirit was a spirit of divination. And what it was doing, it was also drawing attention back to her because her masters were making a lot of money off this lady. She was a palm reader, a psychic, or whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to call her. And so Paul went to Jesus about it, and he said, "Lord, this woman's aggravating me. I want to smack her head off. What do you want me to do?" He said, "God," he said, "this thing is really getting under my skin. I want you to do something about it, Father." What did God do? God said, "You deal with it. My grace is sufficient for you." And so what happened, you know the story in Acts chapter number 16, when they went back out on that day and she did that, he turned around and said, "I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out of her." The Bible said those devils came out and boom, she came to her senses and she was delivered and set free. But so Paul had to discern, you know, what this thing was. So the gift of discernment operated here, and he saw that it was, you know, he knew that it was demonic. Amen. So he cast the thing out. Somebody say, "He cast it out in Jesus' name." Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 14. This is a good scripture. It says, strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, that's one kind of discernment right there. And that discernment basically comes right here. Every Christian has it. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're supposed to have this. If you don't, shame on you." Say, "You need it. Like a dead man needs a casket so you won't get suckered by anybody or just drawn away by..." Because, you know, some people are more prone to follow those things than other people are. And so it's important, you know, that we continually say, "God, I want my senses to grow. I want to be able to discern both good and evil." I know if it's a bank robber, it's an evil dude. If it's a murderer, it's an evil dude. But sometimes it's harder to discern a people that sow discord or people that have an ulterior motive or a person, that is under the influence of something evil. So the only way that you can know that is really by relationship with Jesus and growing into that. Somebody say growing into it. But he says you get it from the milk and then you get it from the meat. Somebody say the meat of the word, and you allow your senses to grow. Because I've seen a lot of people in church get hurt by other people, you know, who said that this person had an evil spirit or this person got a devil, and they didn't. And on the other hand, the people that were claiming to do that, they're the ones that were listening to the evil spirit, not them. And so it's important. Number one, think about what the scripture says. It's common sense. Everybody put your head up and say, "Common sense, common sense, common sense." And we could go right into chapter number 13 and 14 and read about what love is. Because you're not going to have discernment, this basic discernment without love. Now, we're not talking about the Bible gift of discerning of the spirits. We're just talking about discernment as a Christian right here. So, number one, everything that you've got has to be hinged on love, all right? And then Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." Because when you judge someone, that's a heavy thing. If you say this person has a devil, you really need to know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say, you know, people, I mean, you meet people say, you know, "They got a devil in them, man. They got a devil in them. They got a devil in them. They got a devil in them." You know, and yeah, I'm leery of people like that. I really am. I'm like, every time I hear something come out of your mouth and somebody's got a devil, I said, something ain't right here. You know what I'm saying? And so one of the things that Scripture says for us, and he's talking about, this is what Paul's counsel is. He said, "Speak that which is unto exhortation, edification, and comfort." He's talking about us in our speech and the way that we handle people and deal with people. He said, always build somebody up, always speak the right thing and say what God would say over an individual. because it's the Word of God that changes everything. Somebody say, yes, it is. And so it's important, you know, that we understand death and life is right here. Everybody say, right there is death and life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if I'm going to say something, you know, that has to do with discernment, let's just say just basic discernment, I want to know, number one, do I really know? Somebody say, do I really know? Do I really know? And so it's important, you know, because we don't want to get into the ministry of accusation. We want to get into the ministry of edification. All right? What does God hate? Well, the accuser of the brethren, God hates a false witness, a lying tongue. And that's what those things are. And human beings, it's so easy for us to get caught up in that stuff because, you know, the enemy, just think about this now. We think we know stuff, but God is telling us, he says, number one, everything that you do, you make sure you measure it according to the book. All right? We think we know stuff. Listen to me. If Satan was slick-tongued enough to talk to a third of the angels into rebelling with him against God, as a human being, now think, those angels, they were right there with the Holy Ghost, the Father, and Jesus. No sickness, no disease, God, somebody say God Almighty's throne was right there. Lucifer guarded that. Now, if Lucifer could talk a third of the angels, the heavenly host, and you know, we don't even know how many that was. Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, we don't know. But just think now, if he could do that, angels that stood in the presence of God, here we are humans and on earth. That's why we have to have truth, and we have to have the Spirit of truth. And remember, the Spirit of truth was in heaven. Now think, it's important for us to understand we can make gross error, and we can greatly fall, and we can make a big mess. So that's why Paul says, when you began to read Corinthians, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted like a child. I did what a child would do. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so there's a lot to that statement because God is telling us, he says, look, if you want to be a grown-up, be grown-up in spiritual things. That's basically what he's telling us. And he says, weigh everything that you do by love. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, chapter number 14. Weigh all the gifts of the Spirit by that. Okay, and I'm getting ready to close. So the discerning of the spirits is not a spiritual, just a spiritual mind or reading, not just a spiritual mind or something psychological, you know, that's made up. None of those things. None of those things. It's not mental perception. It is a gift of the grace of God. And so we all need it. Somebody say we all need it. It's not the power to discern and to find faults in others. It is the power to be able to see into that spirit realm, both good and evil. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. I hope it did. I hope it did. So always remember, everything measures up to chapter number 14 when you go in there and say, Holy Spirit, I want the love of God shed abroad in me by you. I want to weigh everything that I do by love, and I want to be able to see and discern. Because the biggest thing that humans have to deal with is pride. It's once we have done wrong to admit that we made a mistake or that we have been wrong. That's the reason pride can be so deadly. And so that's why we need God's love. That's why we need true biblical discernment. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit's gift of discerning of the spirits. Amen? Let's stand together. This Colonel's going to be here Sunday morning. Praise God. Bring your guns. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody get prayed up, ready, because we're going to have a great time in the presence of the Lord. You're going to love this guy. He's full of the Holy Ghost and fire. And He loves the presence of the Lord and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So I'm looking forward to him being here. He's got such a warm, warm spirit. Amen. So pray over that service. Father, we thank you tonight for the mighty gifts of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for that word of knowledge. We thank you for the word of wisdom. And we thank you for discerning of spirits. And Father God, we understand that they're all supernatural. But Lord, you've saved us. And Father, we want our motives to be pure. Lord God, so soaked in your love and your grace, Father God, that Lord, that you would just trust us with these gifts. And we pray, Lord, allow these gifts to move. We need them. We need them because they can save heartache and pain. Lord, they can give direction. They can show us the future. Father God, they can expose the enemy. Father God, or open up the heavens for us. And we pray tonight, Father God in heaven, Jesus, that you will move in our hearts and in our lives, Lord God. Because, Lord, we want the edification, exhortation, and comfort that the Spirit of God brings. And, Father, we want the body to be built up. God, we thank you tonight for your blessing and your goodness, Father God, and your kindnesses, Lord, toward us. And Father, now we commend into your care this service coming up Sunday. Father God, and we just thank you for an open heaven. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're going to do. And Father God, we pray, Father God, transform lives, Father God. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, Father God, tonight we ask it and we pray. And everybody said amen, amen. Give him a praise offering. Hallelujah. Prayer meeting tomorrow night, men's fellowship. Saturday morning, 9:30, down in the lower building. Is that right? Yep. All right. You're dismissed. Dismissed.